What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Everybody, it takes one day for vacation to go away.
You're already back.
Yes, the glow effect, the being relaxed, like everything about it is like it's a day. One day and it's gone.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely had that before. I've had vacations before where I haven't really like done much at all on the time off except chill and just have zen time, and I'm like, I'm a different person now. Like, right. This is the new and improved Rachel. I'm never going to be upset ever again. And then, like, 30 minutes.
Yeah. Tuesday rolls around, you're like, well.
Yeah. Everyone's like, hey, how's your vacation? No, that's great. Here's some crap. Let me just load your bucket up a little bit more.
Yeah, for me, it was, like, on the plane back. Like, the flight attendant's like, would you like a glass of water? And I'm like, oh, now we're just starting in with this, aren't we?
Yeah, I think it's interesting, an interesting concept. Andrew and I had a meeting with the bosses today, and it's basically like, hey, we need to do things this way. We need to do more of this and more of that. And it's all technology, and it's, you know, like we're going to bring AI into it, and we're going to use this tool and that tool, and we're going to do video clips, and we're going to do this and that. And I'm just wondering, because I'm still doing the same job I've always done. You know, I still have 4 hours to fill on a radio show, which is my primary job. But now you have other things and videos and vignettes and podcasts and all this kind of stuff. So it's kind of like a second job. It's probably, for me personally, it hasn't added a bunch because, you know, Andrew does a bunch of that stuff and other people do it. I'm not one of the boys in the truck. I don't have to push buttons or levers. But I wonder if everyone's job has become like that. You know, with like the new technology, if everyone making donuts is now making donuts and they're doing this and this and this and this.
I think that is the case. You know, I remember, and this is 15 years ago, walking around our old radio station and hearing somebody, one of the people who had been there longer, say something about how there used to be three times as many people here, but with the advent of this technology that has allowed a lot of places to cut, downsize, you know, cut down employee numbers and all that sort of thing. So it ends up being a little strange sometimes because you're like, well, this isn't really what I was hired to do. You know what I mean? Like sometimes people will come to you and they'll be like, all right, so now you have to do this. Now this is going to be like a big part of your job. And you're like, well, I didn't.
And you pretty much have to say
really
yes.
Yeah, you don't really have a choice in the matter.
At least
but it's
in
like
this business. I remember way back when, this has probably been 15 years or so ago, back at the old place, and they rolled out digital to us. And at the time, it meant nothing. And I remember witnessing 4 of the top salespeople gathered like in a little huddle. And I saw them physically do it. And later I learned that they were saying, hey, we sell most of the advertising around here. We're not going to do digital. That's not what they hired us to do. We sell radio. We don't even know what digital is. None of them are here. They were all gone within a year. So it's one of those things that, like, you read the handwriting on the wall. And it used to be that there are some things you could say, yeah, that's not really what I do. Don't say that these days.
No.
Well, like video's a great example. You know, well, I don't hate the video stuff and, you know, we're adapting to it, but I don't really know anything about it. You know what I mean? Like that wasn't when I was, you know, hired for this job many, many years ago. That was not like part of the skill set that I had or that I even needed at the time. But now with the advent of like now video is kind of like this big thing that is making a huge impact on the industry and every other industry, too. Now it's like, all right, you have to. I mean, you gotta learn how to adapt. And I think there is some element to that with your job because, I mean, you do have to be aware of all this stuff. Yeah. I mean, social media was not even close to a thing when you started the show. You're like, all right, I'm starting this show so that I can be on the radio and I can do a radio thing. And now, 25 years later, all these people are like, okay, and don't forget, you got to have TikTok and Instagram and Twitter and Facebook.
They treat me with kid gloves around here. They're very gentle with me. And so it wasn't until, right, 6 months or so ago when we started doing the stream where they're like, no, we're going to do this. I'm like, I don't think so. They're like, no, we're going to do it. So you're going to be on camera.
Yeah. I think for a long time, most jobs were just like, it's the same job forever.
Yeah.
You have a job, you know what to do, you're doing that job, and it doesn't change very much. But things change fast now.
Yes.
So if you're not willing or able to adapt, and I do think younger people should be pretty good at adapting because they're used to change, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you're used to new things coming in. And, you know, certain parts of this job are exactly the same as they were 25 years ago, 30 years ago when you and I were getting started in radio. Like turn on the mic and you got to talk. And you got to be interesting and you got to have something to say. And what, you know, whether it's knowledgeable or funny or whatever, it's got to, you know, you don't understand. That part hasn't changed.
Right.
But you do have to understand social media. You do have to understand the importance of podcasts and what it means to get them up on time. Like there are other things that go into it now that didn't exist 20 years ago.
Also, so our rating system changed 15 years or so ago. And there are specific ways to do a show. It's called PPM, personal something meters.
People meters.
People meters. And that work. And that's something that I still have not adapted. Because to me, that's changing the product. And part of it is music radio. If you've listened to music radio lately, it's like you've got 5 seconds.
Oh, it's a formula down to the minute. Yeah, down to the second. Yeah.
You're gone.
Yeah.
And in talk radio, you are a couple of things. You're supposed to just like hit the hole, man. Like no, you know, dinking around. You just run the ball straight up the middle. As soon as you come back from break, don't play much music. Get right into it. Hit them with a topic, blah, 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 which I don't do. I this show has been described by consultants as the lazy river of radio. Like you just never know where it's going to go. But I don't know how to do the other thing. I don't, and I'm not being self-deprecating, like, tell me I'm pretty. I don't know how to do the other thing, where it's, I don't know what I'm going to do next. Like, in the next segment, I don't know what I'm going to do. It's whatever I feel like doing, but you're supposed to have it discernible, definable, boom, there you go.
Oh, I mean, so when I was, I think that there are extremes in the business that are also maybe too extreme, right? Like, before I came to KMOX, I was doing work at ESPN in Bristol on radio, not on TV. I am not a TV person. But they make you script out your teases. Mm. Like you have to write them down. Here's the tease for the next segment. And if you don't, your producer writes it for you and you're expected to just read it. And you have a really sharp like rundown. This is what we're hitting at 1 o'clock, 1:15, 1:30, 1:45, 2 o'clock. And we have something like that, right? Yeah. I mean, we have that rundown. But theirs is much more specific, and you're going to hit this topic here and this topic here, and maybe in this segment we're going to do two topics instead of one. And I think it's too much, and I don't think it's helpful. Yeah. And it's certainly when you're doing at that level, you're doing national radio, you're not getting ratings anyway.
I do the teases. I try to do the teases. Steve's always on me, and I really do want to please him and make him happy and do what he thinks is going to be best for the show. Sometimes I just forget. But I told him, I'm like, I got to tell you something. There are other shows I listen to, and they shouldn't tease. Because when they say what's coming up, I'm bored by the topic, and I go somewhere
That's a good point.
You got to have something to sell.
You got to have a good tease. And it either needs to be a compelling guest, like a name.
But you can't fake me out.
No.
Because once you do the, like,
now I don't
like
trust
clickbait.
You.
Yeah, right. Like, coming up, the most amazing thing you've ever heard.
So while you hear a lot of that in teases, you hear a lot of mystery.
Yes.
Like, we're not telling you what we're talking about, but it's amazing. Well, then it better deliver.
Yeah.
And that's the other part of that process of going through this inside radio stuff is you got to deliver, which is the number one thing. The number one thing is if you're not regularly delivering, which is what this show does really well. Whether it's promised or not, it's, you know, you're getting what you're expecting.
Rach, were you trying to jump in there?
Yeah, but I mean, we kind of went past the topic that I was going to comment on, so it's not a big deal.
I have another one that's very related. in any business, but especially in entertainment, you will be preached to about how you have to be constantly evolving, constantly evolving. I've kind of touched on this before, but I don't like when my creators evolve. Like my beloved Sasquatch Chronicles. I've not listened in 6 months.
Wow.
Because he started doing paranormal.
I got you. He expanded the field.
Yeah, he was doing aliens and he was doing this. And I'm like, dude, first of all, I'm not here for you. Like my favorite thing about the host of Sasquatch Chronicles was he just introduced the person and got out of the way.
Let them tell the story.
Loved him. He was my favorite host. He really was. He just let them tell a story about seeing Bigfoot. And now that it's more focused on him and it's no, I would never tell another creative like you can't do this or you shouldn't do this. But I think it's an interesting concept that we're always wanting our people to evolve. And yet, I don't know about you guys, but personally, I don't. Like, I miss, now I'm going to sound a million years old, but I miss when Food Network was about cooking shows. Before, like, everything was a competition or, you know, like, drama and all that kind of thing. Like, I don't like it when things evolve.
No, I think that's fair, and I think it's, you know, just speaks to the balance that you have to strike with this show. Obviously, we want to grow the show. We want to go along with everything the company wants us to do because ultimately it is a good thing. But if we change too many things, it alienates the very loyal listeners yes. that you've had for over two decades. So there's just always a balance that you have to try and find. I respect the opinions of consultants up to an extent, mm-hmm. but then it's also like, well, if you know how to do it, why don't you have a show? Like, yeah. why don't you? I mean, I appreciate the suggestions and things, but ultimately it comes down to like who's actually doing it every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that frustrates me, and this is, you know, nothing anyone in this building has anything to do with, but like sometimes it just feels like the on-air product is like an afterthought for yeah. some folks. It's like, well, yeah, we got to do all this stuff and then you'll do the show too. And it's like, well, the show is kind of the most important thing in my mind and everything mm-hmm. else is just nice on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think since we do the show that way, that's what makes it, you know, good quality. And, you know, we're not necessarily doing a segment trying to get a viral moment out of it so we yeah. can post it later. We're just having like organically interesting segments. So,
yeah, that's the difference between a show like ours that is a show and we may highlight some stuff on social media and a show that there's really no show there at all. It's just a social media play.
Yes.
That's very different. And my kind of show is becoming rare. The kind of show where it's like, look at us, flippity-doo. Oh, by the way, we do a radio show. That's becoming the norm. And it's becoming the norm because that's what younger people want, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Jake says...
Is it what they want or is it what we're being told by consultants they want? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I, you know, Rachel touched on... Something about our show that isn't necessarily true of a lot of the industry at the moment is that we always put the show first before any extra stuff. And I think that the proof is kind of in the pudding there by, like, the success that the show has had. Like, I think the show has had success not in spite of the fact that we put the show first, but because we put the show first.
Yeah, I would like to think. I would like to think so.
I would too.
But you're always wrong. You're always wrong.
Oh, yeah. I know I'm always wrong.
Everyone's always wrong. You yeah. know, like you're never 100% right.
No.
Which I had to learn the hard way. But you just don't know what percent you're wrong about.
It's interesting. I the sports guy here, but what we know about how shows and radio stuff works ratings wise now. We didn't know 25 years ago because
yeah.
we just knew what people wrote down and what they said. So it was yeah. more observational. Think about how we understand sports better now
yeah.
because of the things that we can measure and post and find as opposed to just had to trust your eye before.
Yeah.
Well, your eye was wrong a lot. You just didn't know you were wrong. Now that feedback of right or wrong tends to be pretty quick.
Yeah. Yeah. We've solved a lot of problems.
Let's
in one
go.
Segment.
Boom.
yeah.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho?
comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. One more thing just about a little inside radio. I did an interview today for A Town in Style about the show, and I kind of lost my train of thought. It's not going exactly where I thought it was going to go. It wasn't going to be interesting. It was going to be way too much like,
look at me.
So, oh. Yeah.
Well.
You just wanted to flex.
I mean, your name's on the show.
Yeah, I just wanted to brag. Say Town in Style. No, but I was telling Bill, who interviewed me, that my show's basically 16 shows. Like, we have 16 segments a day, and they don't relate to each other. It's not like at 97.1 where they may do something not Trump, but for the most part, it's all going to be politics. Mm-hmm. Whereas here, it can be literally anything at any time.
Yeah, I tell you guys all the time, like especially on Fridays, because we just have so many guests in. I'll be like, the show has been so fun, but it also feels like it took like 8 hours to do because so many different topics were covered, so many different people came in. Like, it's really cool. But sometimes I'm thinking back, I'm like, wait, that was today? We talked about that today?
Mm-hmm.
Feels like a million years ago.
Man, I had bad dreams last night, and I had one especially bad nightmare that just has really stuck with me. Did that ever happen to you guys? Like, in this dream, Nick and I were together, and he had been taken by some sort of a cult. And so I'm trying to get him out of it, and at some point, I realize he's bought into it, and they're all trying to kill me. And so I jumped in the car, and I took off driving, and then realized, like, oh, I'm leaving my boy behind, and woke up.
Oh, no.
And even though it was a dream, and even though I don't think I would do that in real life, I felt like such an S-bag that was 2 in the morning. I was so mad that it was 2 in the morning. I wanted it to be like 6 a.m. so I could get up and have coffee and forget about it. But I just laid there just, you know, folding in on myself.
Yeah, that sounds awful. I'm
sure it was. It was. Like, you know, I'm used to nightmares being vampires and, you know, like, oh, that was so scary. But I know that the tarantula is not going to get me. Things like that, like interpersonal things about your family, like that sucks.
And then when you're in that spot of just having woken up, you're also not clear headed.
No.
Right. You're like, what's all that? And then you're like, oh, I'm tired. I don't want to get up. And then you lay there and you're like, well, this is happening.
Yeah.
I really think it's partly that mindset. Because I haven't had any of that I would call quote unquote nightmares, but I've had dreams like that where I'm like really angry in the dream. Yes. Shocking, you know?
Yes.
And then I wake up mad.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what?
And you have dreams where you're not angry and you wake up mad. It's, I think, just how you wake up.
Well, I mean, yeah, kind of. Got to get something to get you going in the morning.
New study kind of confirms what we've always known. A new medical study, like 50,000 people or something that then took part, that the happiest life is the simplest life. Keep it simple. Go about your business. Don't make it too complicated. Don't make it too big. Focus on your family. Keep it simple. You'll be happy.
Did they say, like, in what respect? Because to some people, a simple life means, you know, something different.
Yeah, yeah. They were saying, like, live beneath your means, be frugal, don't try to attach your happiness to the car you drive or the house you live, like, more like minimalist.
Mm.
Yeah, more focused on people, less focused on things.
Makes sense.
Yeah. I would agree. I would give that advice to my kids. I don't feel like I've had a simple life. I've had a very dynamic, dense life. And I can honestly say, although I've been screwed over a couple of times, 99 out of 100 of the problems in my life are me, 100% caused by me. But if I had it to do over, I would do simpler. Hmm. No doubt. Like, Wheels, you have a simple life.
I mean, to a degree, yeah, but I wouldn't say, I mean, I don't know, it's a hard, because I find the balance is where it works the best, where I always want to have something that you're shooting for, right? Something that's next, that's your kind of your target to chase. Whether it's, some people, it could be money, it could be a car, it could be a vacation, it could be retirement, it could be whatever. But at the same time, take clutter out. Like, there's a lot of stuff I just don't worry about because I can't do anything about it.
Yeah. I'm getting more and more like that the older I get.
Yeah, somebody must have kicked you around.
Welcome back, guys. DG Ass on KMOX. Happy Tuesday. So Jimmy Kimmel is making plans to move out of the country. France, Italy, I forget which one, unimportant. But my question for you guys is, what, if anything, would bring you to that point of, I think I've had enough of the United States, and what's on the top of your list? Where would you go? And why?
I mean, it would really take a lot to make me want to permanently leave the U.S.
I agree.
I think it's an overall pretty nice place to live.
Agreed.
There's a lot of people who want to live here.
Yes.
So it would take a lot. I don't really have an answer to that question. If I did go somewhere, I'm sure I would want to go to Japan just because the connection with Kurt and stuff. But generally, like, no, I want to be here. I mean, this is, I did not know Jimmy Kimmel was planning on moving. Is he going to give up his show? Did
Don't
he
know.
Say anything about that?
Not sure.
Interesting.
Yeah. Speaking of Kurt.
Oh, yes. It's his birthday today. So
happy birthday, Kurt.
To Kurt.
Birthday boy.
He is the birthday
boy. You said that really
birthday
weird.
Boy.
Say that to Kurt when you get home.
Birthday boy.
Yeah, I agree, Rach. To me, it would have to be like epic 500-year historic, we've overthrown the Constitution. Having an administration, whether it's the Trump administration or it's an administration in 20 years that I disagree with, that's part of the deal.
Right. Like,
that's just
right.
part of the deal.
Yes.
You know, I mean, if you have allegiance to your country, and I think that's also a very iffy, sketchy thing, because I do feel like my generation was indoctrinated. And I don't think indoctrination is ever a good thing. You know, it's you got to teach kids, as a parent, you teach them, don't, you know, cross the street without looking both ways, blah, blah, blah. And it's one thing to say, like, you know, this is America and this is why we live here and this is why it's great. But, like, just the whole thing was a little bit much. And so now at 60, I'm kind of rethinking, like, well, what is my allegiance, or what do I love? What do I not love? But I'm enough of an American, I agree with Rach, that I wouldn't just let one administration or one change in society, like, make me go somewhere else. But at the same time, if it really was a sea change and we're no longer the same constitutional republic, we've become something else, sure.
I'm going to Canada.
It's easy. Mm-hmm. Seems like it'd be easy.
Seems like the easiest one. It's the most, I think, American-like. And it's, I would need to go somewhere that speaks English because I don't speak any other languages. Mm-hmm. And so the other one would maybe be Australia. If I was going to, like, really stretch out and, you know, get on a plane instead of just driving or whatever, I would want to go to Australia. Australia seems nice.
Yeah, it would have to be so bad for me to go that I would need to be going somewhere far away, right? If I'm only going to Canada, it ain't bad enough for me to leave. Right, that's a little close. If it's to the point where it's so bad, I would leave, because it's probably,
you don't,
like,
want to be near it.
It's open battle in the streets is what's getting me. Because other than that, I'll deal with it.
Yeah.
Right. And mostly because everything I care about is here. Right. It's not, and I think we get mixed up too often, where it's not a thing. A country's not a thing. It's just the people that live there, and what attaches you to it is your own roots here, your family, your friends. The things that you grow to love, whether that's, you know, American-made movies, whether it's your favorite sports teams, whether it's just any other culture or cultural thing or traditional thing. It's not about, it's not, it's like when people always complain about the government. The government's not a thing. It's just a structure. The human beings are the ones you have problems with.
Yeah.
And it's people doing things incorrectly or doing them badly that makes any country, government, or company or family good or bad.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, I have allegiance to my family. But you know what? If people in my family are murdering people, I'm not with you anymore. I'm out. You're on your own. See you later.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I think if family is the most important thing to most people, like, right? People usually list it God, family, country. Right. Well, if family is of the earthly things, if family's number one, if your family could lose you, then why can't your country? Because to me, the country is just an extension of family. That's what it should be. And families fight, and they don't always get along, and you don't always see things the same way. And that's totally cool, until some groups take it too far.
Yeah.
So if it gets to that point, then I got to go far away. I mean, it's got to be far enough away where it's not like right next door. I'd be comfortable all over Europe. I mean, probably would pick France because I speak it. But I got to tell you, Andrew's Australia sounds really good because of the distance. And because for I'm not going alone, right? If I'm going with my wife, my kid, whatever. Right. Well, yeah, they don't necessarily speak those other languages. It would be an easy assimilation in a place like Australia. Just keep in mind that everything in Australia wants to kill you.
Yes.
You got to remember that. And spiders, snakes. Down. Yeah. That's, yeah. They get used to that part.
Do you, what reaction do you have when, while it's completely their right to do it, but when Alec Baldwin or Ellen or Jimmy Kimmel says, I'm leaving the country, do you roll your eyes? Do you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because they got nothing to risk. You're already wealthy enough to cover the rest of your life. You have no risk.
Yeah,
for a lot of people, that's a huge risk.
And if you want to visit the U.S., you can get on a plane like nothing to you and fly back and forth anytime you want, as much as you want.
And whereas spend months and months on end here if you wanted to. Yeah.
Yeah, whereas for other people, that's like, you know, well, I can only afford to fly to the U.S. once every 10 years because it's a $3,000 flight or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a huge difference when you have life-changing money to make that call. It's a lot easier when you're doing it that way. Because I mean, think about it. If I were going to take that step and go anywhere of those places, any of the places that would be alternatives, you're basically cutting ties with everybody you know.
Because all of those people that we mentioned, if they wanted to, could insulate themselves from America in America.
Sure,
you know. I understand. And
they can live exactly where they want, where the policies will fit exactly what their desires are.
I understand, like, the protest thing. Like, yeah. I hate Trump, and I'm going to move, and that'll show him, and everything's going to change.
Right.
But the way you live, you can just build a compound and live exactly
and
like
live
you want.
And live where you want, right? If you want to be in the big red state, well, you can be there.
Yeah.
And if you want to be in a big blue state, you can be there, too. And you have the means to afford whatever that costs. I agree with you. I think that's just... I'm not saying don't do it. You're free to do what you want, but it's not any kind of bold move. It's when you've got blank you money, you're just using it.
Yeah, I do wonder who, you know, reads the headline and is like, oh my gosh, we lost Ellen.
Yeah.
This has gone too far. We have to stop all of this right now. I think in general, it's like, all right, go ahead and move. Like, have fun.
Yeah, I don't hang out with Ellen. It doesn't affect me if Ellen doesn't live in America.
I don't care.
What do you guys think is going on with Trump lowering the designation for pot federally?
So he had a huge fundraising event with some people who have an interest in... I should pull up the story so I can speak on it a little more intelligently. But basically, he's made some connections. There was like $1 million donation to one of his PACs. And now he's saying like, oh yeah, maybe we'll make it a class 3 instead of, what is it? Class 1 right now.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I think it's just the classic, like he's meeting people who's like him and they're telling him it's a good idea. I believe these are people who have also worked with like the Biden administration. They just keep pushing forward to make this less of a big deal to get caught with marijuana nationwide.
It would make it less of a crime?
Yes.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the way it should be, especially with the legalization in so many states.
We're in a
weird... To have it be federally illegal is weird.
Yeah, it's in a weird, weird place because I can go out the door here, drive about a quarter mile, and buy, I think, pretty much anything I want when it comes to cannabis. And perfectly fine, get pulled over by the cop and be like, yep, I'm going to use this when I get home. Okay, have a good time. Yet federally, it's a crime, which I don't understand exactly. I mean, I understand the difference between state and federal, but I don't understand when you would get in trouble and when you wouldn't.
Same. So, I have absolutely no idea.
And none of it makes any sense to me. Why? I know you guys, when I asked that yesterday, they're like, morals. Well, it's all those people live in all those states that have marijuana legalized. So if they're all so against it, then why do they keep losing? And if they're losing, isn't it a majority rule country? Like when things like that, it gets put on a ballot, what happens? People vote for it. That means all the people that are against it still have that opportunity to vote against it, lobby against it, do whatever they want, but they're losing. So why does a small number of people who object on moral grounds get to object? Why should your moral standards apply to anyone else but you and your family?
Do you personally draw a line anywhere? Like, do you say, pot's okay, cocaine needs to be illegal?
Yeah, I think it's just more about the damage done by the particular substance, right? I mean, how much does it do to the body and how much does it take you out of your normal senses? Because, again, I would say, based on observations, not a lot of experience, but observations and knowing a lot. There's not much difference between the way marijuana makes people act and the way alcohol makes people act. And I've seen way more angry drunks than I've seen angry potheads. You know, I mean, like alcohol, and those two are comparable. Mm-hmm. Except one will also have much more physical damage to your body. We know this. And yet that one's perfectly okay. And all the teetotalers and all the morals people are perfectly fine with booze being everywhere. So why are we holding up on this one thing? And again, I understand there are good lines. And I'd say that we let doctors like draw those lines. Okay, this one, this is what this does to your body. This is why this, and that's basically what the schedule stuff is, mm-hmm. right? Some of the aspirin is no big deal. But anything with codeine in it's going to be a little more of a big deal because it's got addictive properties. It can lust to other. So we've already kind of established this structure. But one of the things that gets treated like the really bad things really isn't. And how many states is it legal in now? Mm. Is it 35?
I think it's the majority, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, and conservative states too, not just the blue states. So what's the holdup on the federal? Is it simply because people in Congress just
probably
don't want to take action on it for whatever their reasons are?
Big Blonde Dan brings up a great point. He says, I'm not a pot user, but I always thought it was bizarre. Marijuana was on the same level as heroin, yeah. LSD, meth. Those are all Schedule One.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to come out here and be like, marijuana has never hurt anyone.
No, of course
like,
it has.
Of course it has. There are people who struggle with addiction to marijuana.
Sure.
But you could be addicted to many things.
Beer.
You know? Yeah, exactly.
And we celebrate beer, which, is, again, totally fine. I don't care. I'm not anti-alcohol or anti-beer. But is there anything that gets celebrated much more in terms of food and drink in this country than beer? I see a lot of commercials. They make it seem really fun. And it is. It's not lying.
The age of 18, she blew the boys away. It was more than they'd seen.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Coming up at the top of the hour, we have Kui Tran, who is the owner of Noodle House in Miley. Going to be joining us live in studio, kind of hear his story, talk about you know, his arc and what he's been through and talk about the restaurants. That's coming up live at 2 p.m. So, Rach, you ran into a jerk at Schnucks this morning?
I did, as I referenced in my Schnucks Live about 15 minutes ago. Went this morning, just picked up a couple of little drinks, and I'm going through the self-checkout. And I hear this very angry man next to me say, well, if you guys had checkers, this wouldn't be a problem. So I'm able to deduce, okay, he's having a problem with the self-checkout. The right. very nice woman who is overseeing the self-checkout is helping him. And she just kind of finishes up and she's like, yeah, we actually do have checkers. Because they do. You can right. go stand in line and wait. I mean, he made the choice to go through self-checkout. And he was just so mean and so nasty. And I, for a second, I considered being like, hey, man, what do you want her to do about it? Like, do you think she, first of all, makes any kind of decision at like yeah. as far as the staffing at
she's the one.
Schnucks? No.
Yeah.
Also, there are plenty of checkers available for you that you could go use their services right now. You chose to come through self-checkout because generally it's less busy. So, I mean, that's a choice you made. Like, I wanted to say something to him. But I've done that on so many occasions, like when people have been being rude at mm-hmm. like a food counter or something. And I always wonder, like, man, did the person that I'm trying to help out even really appreciate it? Yeah. Or am I just making it more awkward? So instead, I just kept my mouth shut. I made eye contact with the nice lady and smiled and told her, have a great day. Just to kind of be like, hey, we're not all mean.
Yeah.
And left after that. But I don't know. What I guess I'm wondering what Wheels would have done in that same situation.
Depends on the level of hostility detected.
He was like way too rude.
If he's just grumbling, I don't know, I'll leave him alone.
No, he was loud. He was mean.
If you're berating someone that doesn't need it, I've spoken up many times on that. I mean, just first is just be loud as they are and say, easy.
Yeah.
Just start simple. You don't have to start yelling at them. Just like, hey, take it easy. That's it.
Jerks get away with it way too often.
Yeah, because most of the time, that little, hey, man, take it easy.
Yeah.
That calms everything down. Not always.
They're just not called on it much.
No.
I love videos where people get their comeuppance.
Yeah.
When someone's like, the one we talked about where the guy's bullying a young black kid, and he's like, I'm going to kick your ass. And the kid's like, let's go right now. Yeah. Let's do it.
He throws his bag down and goes, I want this. Let's go.
Wussied out on him.
Yeah. It was a big dude. He looked like he was maybe 50.
Yeah.
And he was talking all kinds of smack, and the kid looked like he's maybe 19.
Yeah.
And as soon as he said, yep, let's go, and got into a fighting stance, the other guy's like, well, wait a minute. Yeah. Like, well, wait, so what you want to do is you want to throw your weight around, and you want to make yourself feel strong, but then the minute somebody's going to stand up to you and say, hey, calm down, buddy.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, let's go. Let's go right now. You stop talking. Let's go.
Well, you bring up an interesting point, both of you, because I also had a moment of like, man, do I even want to say something to him? Because how bad is this guy's day that this is like how he's approaching this kind of situation? I mean, how terrible is your life right now that you're taking it out on this poor lady who works?
I'll tell you this. I've never known a person who was nice, who was having a terrible moment like this guy was having at Schnucks, who didn't immediately apologize for it.
Yeah.
You with me?
Once you get called on it.
I don't think I would ever get to that level with someone. Like, I can't, but why don't you have checkers and all that? But if I did, I know I would immediately apologize.
Well, you would feel shame.
Yes. I wouldn't walk out of there and get in my car and drive away.
But that is, and that's partly why it's important, again, for people that are comfortable,
which leads me to believe that they aren't nice people.
Generally,
the people who are doing that are doing that all the time in their life. And having just traveled and just traveled by air, I saw a few examples of that, and you just knew. You just knew that the guy who was grumbling coming through TSA was grumbling on his way here, and he'll be grumbling when he gets to his destination. That's just what he is.
But that's also like, you having a bad day doesn't mean you get to give that to someone else.
No.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be having a bad day, but if you catch it, again, the last thing you want to do is go in hot and like try to escalate, right? That's not really what you're trying to do. You're just trying to get the attention of the person and let them know that other people are seeing them be jerky.
And especially,
and hope they wake up.
Like Rage said, read the room. Go talk to Mr. Schnook if you really want to have some impact.
Yeah. Right.
You know, go talk to Mr. Dierberg. The lady who's trying to help you get through the self-checkout has no say-so
and also,
in what they do.
100% user error if you're going through the self-checkout and it's going not going well.
I mean,
all right, maybe not 100%, but 95%.
Yes.
I'm smart user enough to error. Not go through it.
I mean, it's a touchscreen. It's not that hard. And I've had problems where sometimes you'll ring something up and then you put it over where you're supposed to and then it goes, call the attendant, we don't like this because it reads the weight wrong or whatever. That happens. That happens sometimes, but more often than not, is something I did wrong. And then they fix it. And I'm like, thank you.